Hey church, welcome. Happy church day. We are so glad you're here. Whatever day you're watching this, we are so glad that you're here and worshiping with us. Church home. We are church like a home, church in your home. Our passion is to be global and mobile and serve you every possible way we can. If this is your first experience, welcome. That is so much trust and something we don't take lightly at all. And I tell you about a feature that we offer here at Church Home. It's called Pastor Chat. Now, what Pastor Chat is an incredible team standing by actually as we speak right now, waiting to chat with you, pray with you, talk with you. You got questions about God, you hate God, you don't believe in God, maybe you've been following Jesus for many years, but you need some encouragement and some prayer. We want to make sure that you're seen, you're heard, you're cared for, you're served, you're loved. And so Pastor Chat is available for you to do that. Now, again, if your very first time at Church Home, welcome. My name's Judah. My wife is Chelsea. We've been married 20 years. We lead the church here, Church Home. We've got 3 kids, and we are so excited you are here. These are unprecedented days in our nation's history and, frankly, for nations around the world as we continue to determine one with another to be anti-racist because we are for people. We are our brother's keeper. We are learning to love our neighbor and to walk out the love of Jesus. What a privilege and what an honor. We believe in justice. We believe in equity for all. We are standing with our Black brothers and sisters like never before. And I am so, so grateful for you, Church Home. We are growing into a church that looks like heaven. Now, you have just happened into one of my most exciting days of the summer for Church Home. Summer 2020 is going to be unlike any other summer we have ever had, that's for sure. But one of the reasons is we have several guest speakers who are going to be joining us this month. And today is our very first guest speaker. He is my hero. I first started listening to this great man teach and preach and tell the story of Jesus when I was 13. Started listening to him almost every day when I was 16. I still remember that sermon, Silence of the Lambs. If you've never heard that, try to find that sermon on the internet. It is extraordinary. But of course, I'm talking about none other than the great Bishop T.D. Jakes, the chief amongst all preachers. He has been a friend. I am so honored to call him a friend of mine, a friend of this community and this church. His voice has been ringing throughout the corridors of this country and around the world for more decades than I can even count at this point. I am so grateful for his legacy. I'm so grateful for his life. Time Magazine, Newsweek, Oprah herself, so many accolades have been given to this great man. But I will say he is a good friend. He is an incredible husband, a great father. He's a man of God, and I'm so honored. We asked him if he would shoot a sermon just for Church Home, and he has done that. Your mind's going to be blown. Your heart's going to be moved. I believe that we'll never be the same. So prepare yourself. Here we go. We're going to jump right into this sermon that has been written and prepared for our community. We are July 2020, the summer of Church Home, unlike any other. Join me now as we welcome and thank Bishop T.D. Jakes as he preaches to us.
Hello, Church Home. I come to you as a substitute teacher for the incomparable Judah Smith. He is a tremendous person, a great man of God. I knew his father, Wendell, very well, and so we had generational relationships. And what can I say? I was cheap labor, so you're stuck with me. But I do have a word from God, and I'm excited to share it with you. And I think we're going to be blessed and have a good time. So get ready, get ready, get ready. Let's go to the Word of God. I'm going to be in the book of Ruth. I almost said the Gospel of Ruth. In the book of Ruth, chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. And then I'm going to read verse 19 through 22 of the same chapter. And we're going to be talking about faith for the famine. Faith for the famine. Should be good. Are you ready for it? I'm ready. I can't wait to it. Okay, Let's dig into God's word and see what he has to say to us today. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi, and the name of his two sons was Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. Now, we're going to drop down 17 verses, but as you slide down, I want you to know that you just slid down 10 years. If you think a lot can happen in 17 verses, can you imagine what can happen in a decade? 10 years they have been in Moab, 10 years they have lived there, 10 years they've had experiences, life experiences, and all the things that life does in a decade can be staggering. Elimelech is dead. Mahlon is dead, and Chilion. Mahlon is dead, and Chilion is dead. And now we have left is Naomi and Ruth and Orpah. Naomi decides she's going home. Orpah decides she's going to stay in Moab. Ruth decides she's going with Naomi, and let's hear what the words is. So they too went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara. For the Almighty have dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord had brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord have testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. So says the word of God. Faith for the famine. Let's pray. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us right now. Endow us with the kind of anointing that permeates the hardest heart, the most distracted mind, and permeates the spirits of all those that would hear. Let the word be made flesh. Let it be contemporized, cut to the continuity of the times we live in, and yet true to its authentic and original form. I thank you that the word would be made flesh today, that it would be prophetic to somebody, that it would be revelation, that it would change their lives today. That can only happen if you show up. So please, sir, show up and bless these, our children. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to use as an illustrative element this tripod because much of what I'm going to talk about today is centered around a trilogy of situations that happen simultaneously, much like this tripod does. And I want to use it just as a visual aid of understanding that Naomi leaves the house of bread, Bethlehem, with Elimelech, Mahlon, and Chilion. And she stands on the strength of these three. She stands there and moves from the house of bread with all three of them. She is full. She is blessed. She is delighted. She leaves the house of bread, though, because there was a famine. And when you say house of bread at the same time you say famine, you've almost said an oxymoron because those two things should not go together. See, Bethlehem means house of bread. And so every time you say Bethlehem, you're talking about the house of bread. It is so called because later you know who's going to be born in Bethlehem. Yeah. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Yeah, he is the bread. But there is no Jesus. And there is no bread which is a shadow of Jesus. Neither one of them exists here, and yet the name is there. It is called the House of Bread, but it is because that there is no bread that she flees. Not to a deeper relationship with God, not to Jerusalem, not to a holier place or city, but no, she goes to Moab across the Jordan. She leaves the House of Bread over a temporary famine, and it brings to mind how many times we leave the 80 for the 20. How many times in our lives do we leave everything for something? A wife for a girlfriend, a good job for a ghost of an opportunity, a good church because somebody hurt our feelings and ends up somewhere else. The enemy is masterful at tricking us out of the house of bread during the time of famine because we are so frustrated. How hypocritical of the house of bread not to have any bread. And we end up going to idolatrous countries looking for the 20% of what we didn't have. She was full. She had everything. She had everything but bread. She said, I left out four. She had everything but bread. She had everything but bread. She had Elimelech, her husband, Chilion, her son, and Mahlon, her other son. She had everything a woman could hope for, you think. Have my mother tell it, have my wife tell it. When a woman is surrounded by people who love her, she's got everything to stand on that she needs, except bread. So she left with the three of them, headed for Moab to get bread. And by the time 10 years was over, by the time 10 years was gone, Elimelech died first, and then Chilion. Can you imagine losing a son? And then Mahlon. And all three of them were gone. And she decides, I'm going back home. I'm sick of this. Shouldn't come here in the first place. I'm going home. And when she decides to leave, she's leaving a different tripod. There is Naomi. There is Ruth. And there is Orpah. All three of them had to make a decision. Naomi says, I'm going home. Orpah says, I'm not going with you guys. I'm going to stay here with my people and my language and my culture and my kind. I'm going to stay here in Moab. And Ruth says, I'm going with Naomi. And where she lodges, I will lodge. And where she lives, I will live. And where she dies, I will die. And thy God shall be my God. And thy people shall be my people. And so the two of them, went without one of them and came to Bethlehem. And when they got to Bethlehem, the Bible says that the city was caught afire to see Naomi. He ran out and said, is this Naomi? Probably because in 10 years, you can change quite a bit. You know, just ask me about it. 10 years brings on a change, baby. Is this Naomi? She says, call me not Naomi, because I went out full and I left empty. Call me Mara. Now, you must understand that Naomi means my joy, because evidently when she was born, somebody looked at her and she made somebody so happy. She said, I'm going to call her Naomi because she's my joy. And she had been held and she had been nurtured. And when you've been held and when you've been nurtured, and then you start losing everything that holds you and everything that nurtures you, if you're not careful, it will change you. It will change you. So she no longer is dealing with a famine for bread. She is now dealing with a famine for love. There's nobody holding her saying, you're my joy. You're amazing. You're wonderful. You're Naomi. My precious Naomi. She's lost all that. And losing it has made her bitter. It has made her so, so bitter. You know you're bitter when you stop knowing who you are. Bitterness will make you so bitter that you lose sight of who you are and turn into a caricature of what you used to be. Bitterness will rob you of your personality. It'll take the step out of your walk. It'll take the gleam right out of your eye. It'll take the smile out of your face. If you're not careful, bitterness will distort you into something almost unrecognizable. This woman wasn't bitter. This woman was joy, but she had become bitter through the things she's been through. Are you bitter? Have you become bitter through the things you've been through? Has it changed you? Up under the guise of having to be tough, you got to do what you got to do. You become tough and you lost the thing that God loved about you. You lost the thing that God called about you. You lost the thing that God wanted from you because of what you've been through. And if you're not careful, life will distort you and the famines and the barrennesses of life and the emptiness of the things that didn't happen the way you expected them to happen can distort you to the point that you lose all sight of who you are. They knew who she was. Ruth knew who she was. But it doesn't matter how many other people know who you are. If you don't know who you are, she's lost her awareness of who she is. She says, don't call me Naomi anymore. Just call me Mara. And the odd thing about it is, here is this young girl following in behind her who thinks she is amazing. Thy God shall be my God. Thy people shall be my people. Where thou livest, I will live. And where thou diest, I will die. Ruth thinks she's amazing. How many times do we have people following us who are depending on us, who need us, who value us, and they don't know that we don't value ourselves because we started out full and we ended up empty. Because we are tired or empty or frustrated or scared or hungry for something that we don't know where to find anymore. And out of that hunger and out of that bitterness, of not being held or touched or loved or cradled or caressed. She said, the Lord have dealt treacherously with me. He has been bitter to me. He has mistreated me. Wait a minute, Naomi. The Lord never sent you to Moab. I read it. It said Elimelech went to Moab. It doesn't say he was sent to Moab. It doesn't say he was called to Moab. It doesn't say he was drawn to Moab. It doesn't say he was led to Moab. He just went. So many times we just leave because of a season in our lives, a season of discomfort, a season of disruption, a season of pandemics, a season of racial conflict, a season of uncertainty, a season of unemployment, a season of a difficult part of marriage, a season in the life of a teenager, and you just go. Naomi, you left the house of bread because it was in a famine, but when you came back, nobody was dead. You lost more people leaving than they did staying. There comes a time in your life that you have to quit running from a fight. And you have to straighten your shoulders and stiffen your back, put your feet flat on the ground and say, come hell or high water, this is it. I'm going to stay here winter, spring, summer, or fall. Doesn't matter. Good times, bad times, I'm all the way in. We don't have too many people like that today. We have people who bounce around based on what's going on at the time. And they lose time. They lose decades of time. Sometimes they lose people. She had lost her two sons. if there's any mothers watching me, you know what that must feel like. To bury your sons is an injustice of seasons. Because every mother hopes that your children will bury you. Naomi had outlived her children and her husband. And she said, I went out full. Well, if you was full, why did you leave? Because I was hungry, Bishop. Sometimes when you're hungry, you forget what you got. Trying to get what you don't. And I want to talk to some people today. I just want to talk to somebody today who doesn't really value what you have because there's some little nagging pain about something you didn't get. I want to talk to you. Don't do like Esau and sell your birthright over your hunger pains for a bowl of soup. She walked away from her homeland and her heritage and her people and her culture and her music and her dance and her song and her joy for some bread, and then lost the people that wanted the bread. What good is bread without an eater? What good is seed without a sower? What good is a painting without a viewer? What good is a concert without a hearer? It was about the people. It was never about the bread. It's not about the money. It's about the people. Don't get caught up in the money and lose sight of the people. It's about the people. And now she's bitter. And she's got this young girl following her back home. And she's blaming God. She is blaming God. No wonder she's bitter. No wonder she's depressed. Because anger has turned inside. She's angry on the inside, and she's pointing her finger at God. It's your fault. You dealt treacherously with me. God didn't deal treacherously with you. That is the story you tell yourself to exempt yourself from owning the fact that maybe you should have stayed. I want to talk to you about the stories we tell ourselves. The things that we say to ourselves that are convenient unto ourselves, about ourselves, but are not true. Nobody made her leave Bethlehem. She just left. And the truth of the matter, when she comes back home, she sees that Bethlehem is doing good. It was just a season. And it was over. But in her inability to endure tough seasons, she has lost all three people that she used to lean on. They're gone. My friends, I want to talk to you today because decisions have consequences. Not just on the one who makes the decision, but on everybody around you, decisions have consequences. And you can make one decision that affects everybody else around you. I'm not blaming Naomi. It was probably Elimelech's decision, but she went for it. And she also has to accept responsibility as an adult mother. Nobody drugged you. You went. And you lost some stuff. And you learned some stuff. And you endured some stuff. And now you're protecting your mind from the guilt and the pain and the shame by weaving together a lie just because it feels better than the truth. And you think God did it to you. God did not do that to you. I don't know who I'm talking to, but somebody out there that I'm talking to right now, you're blaming God for something that God did not do. And I'm not trying to hurt your feelings or hurt you or do anything to you. I'm trying to get you to understand that it could be possible that you are where you are because of the choices that you made. That it could be possible that your story could be different if you started taking responsibility for your choices. It could be possible. And I want to go deeper with this because I think we're on to something. And so she gets back and she's there and she's starting to reevaluate herself and she's starting to reorientate herself and she's trying to pick up the pieces to what she lost. And she's back in Bethlehem and she doesn't know what to do with herself because she's always been defined by being someone else's joy. And without them, who am I? Who am I? All I have is this daughter-in-law who won't stop following me around. And what can I get from her? And she doesn't understand that her life is not over, it's just beginning. That her latter days are going to be better than her former days. That she's going to be more significant in her return than she was when she left. That God is going to do something in these latter years that will exceed everything that she's been through all the days of her life. She doesn't understand her life is not over, it's just beginning. And there are some of you right now that have been through some trauma and some tragedy and some adversity and some disappointment. And you think your life is over and you just put it on autopilot, waiting on the angels to come and Gabriel to blow his horn and pick you up on his motorcycle and ride your way into the heavens. I got news for you. Your life is not over. This is not the end. The best is yet to come. God is getting ready to do something amazing in your life. And you got to shake yourself out of the state of mind you're in and come to yourself and remember you are not what you've been through. You are not Mara. Your name is Naomi. You still got joy in you. Still got joy. She didn't discover that just yet, but she will. Before the story ends, she'll find out that her latter days are so much more important than her former days that they'll never be brought up again. Before the story is over, she will begin to understand that God brought her away from idolatry so that she could be a participant in bringing a king into the world. A lineage of kings into the world. A lineage that would change the world. She doesn't know it. She's just got this little girl running in behind her and she's trying to mentor her a little bit with a little bit of enthusiasm she has left. She's trying to tell her what to do and how to function, how to survive in a country and a culture that she'd never been in before. And if they would have turned Ruth away from Bethlehem because she was an immigrant, there would be no Jesus. How can you say that? Stick around, I'm going to explain. You see, God allowed Naomi to go to Moab so that Ruth could meet her and so that Ruth would be so drawn to her that she would leave with her. Wait a minute, Bishop, you just told me God didn't send her. I said God allowed her to go. See, the purpose of God will be accomplished not only through our successes, but through our mistakes. Not only through our good decisions, but through our bad. Not only through the times that we clearly understood what he did, but the times that we shirked our responsibilities and walked away. I am trying to tell you that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. Even when the thing itself is not good, it's going to work for your good. Even when it doesn't feel good, even when it hurts your feelings, even when it costs you pain, even when you go through loss, even through bit by bit by bit, things keep shutting down on you. It does not mean that God will not do what he said he would do. God is not a man that he should lie, the son of man that he should repent. If he spoke it, he will bring it to pass. And you, my dear friend, can stand on it. I'm talking to somebody today who went through a divorce or had a baby out of wedlock or been in a prison cell or on your third marriage. I'm talking to somebody who secretly wonders if you miss your chance and lost your opportunity. And the Lord sent me here to tell you, I am not through with you yet. I am not through with you yet. Just because I didn't do what you thought I was going to do the way you thought I was going to do it doesn't mean I'm not going to do it. I am not through with you yet. Just because you went after the bread and lost the eater doesn't mean that I'm through with you yet. Just because you had misplaced priorities doesn't mean I'm through with you yet. Just because you've been impatient and didn't wait on me properly doesn't mean I'm going to cast you away. And Naomi finds her purpose. in the arms of this stowaway girl, Ruth, who will not go back. And she begins to mentor her, and she begins to train her, and she begins to introduce her to Boaz. And she and Boaz fall in love, and Ruth goes from gleaning behind the reapers to owning the field. I want to say to somebody right now, you're in a menial position right now, but you're going to end up owning the field. Ruth, when she got to Moab, when she got to Bethlehem, she wasn't even a reaper. She was a reaper behind the reapers. She was catching whatever they dropped. She was just doing the best she could with what she had, you know, minimum wage, getting by, doing whatever she could. But they didn't know that she was going to end up owning the field. She met Boaz, they fell in love, they got married, and she was owner of the field. You're a boss. You don't know it, but you're a boss. Don't look at it right now, but judge nothing before it's time. Judge the righteous judgment. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but soon when he shall appear, we shall be like him. It's going to show up after a while what God has in store for them that love him. But right now, she was gleaning behind the reapers. Right now, she was playing second fiddle. Right now, she was sitting on the bench. Right now, her finances were funny. Right now, her credit was over her head. Right now, she was struggling to make ends meet. But just because she started there doesn't mean you're any serious. She in there. She ended up with her husband, Boaz, owning the field. And she, when Boaz and Ruth got together, they produced a son named Obed. And guess what they did? They brought Obed to Naomi. And she's holding the little baby in her arms. And she said, my joy. You see, God has something on your latter end that you couldn't receive on your first end because you wasn't ready for it and it wasn't time yet. And in spite of everything that you lost, God has a way of restoring to you everything that got away from you. And he capsulizes it in one thing that solves everything. And she's holding the baby in her arms, and the baby's name is Obed. And Obed grows up and begets Jesse. And Jesse begets David. And out of David comes Jesus. I want to encourage everybody who's going through a famine. All you got to do is just stand. Though the storms are raging and the wind is blowing, just stand. Though it doesn't feel fair and it doesn't feel right, just stand. Though things are falling apart sometimes and you don't have anybody to talk to, you just stand. Just stand here like this tripod. Just stand here. And everything you lost, God is going to give it back to you. If you hold on and just stand, he will restore to you everything that got away in your life. That's the word of the Lord for you today. It's simply illustrated in a childlike sort of way, but it still has truth in it. It's yours for the taking. God is not finished with you. Hold on to his promise. Hold on to his word. Having done all to stand, stand therefore with your loins girt about with truth, and know that God is going to make it up to you before your life is over. I am Bishop T.D. Jakes, Senior Pastor of the Potter's House, and I'm praying for you today that a new strength and a new grace and a new peace and a new power and a new confidence would stand up in you, and that you'd have faith for the famine. I know it's been tough. It's been tough on all of us. It's been tough on me. It's been tough on everybody I know. It's been tough times. Lots of losses and lots of pain and lots of uncertainty and lots of stress and lots of chaos. It's a famine. But we got enough faith. I've got a feeling that everything is going to be all right. And my brothers and sisters, my friends, my cohorts in Christ, don't you have enough faith for this famine? Let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice, no matter how bitter the pain, how dark the night, how tumultuous the storm, how tempestuous the wind. I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that you would strengthen your people everywhere and give them courage and might and grace and draw them closer to you. And above all things, no matter how deep the famine, that they would have faith for the famine in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for this opportunity to share with you. Thank you for allowing me this sacred space in your life. And may your week be blessed because we spent these few moments, you and I together, talking about an old woman named Naomi and a young girl named Ruth and how to have faith in the middle of your famine. God bless you. Take care.